Live Fast, Die Young might have been the motto of Austrian artist Egon Schiele. In his short career, he died at 28, he produced some 300 paintings and 3,000 drawings. The Neue Gallery is showing 150 of his works from the Ronald S. Lauder and Serge Sabarsky collections until February 20th. I'm very pleased to welcome Renee Price, director of Neue Gallery New York and curator of the exhibition called Egon Schiele, to my show today. There's also a very lovely book from Prestel, a huge book that I carry down to the studio with great difficulty. I don't know how much this weighs.
3.9 kilos.
The self-portrait on the cover of the exhibition catalog is reminiscent of a pose by Mick Jagger, and you juxtapose photos of Schiele with those of Jagger, David Bowie, Sid Vicious, Elvis Presley, and James Dean. Do you see him as the equivalent of a rock star or a movie idol?
I think they see him as that, yes.
You think they saw him? They actually were aware of his work and modeled themselves on him?
Maybe indirectly, but in the case of David Bowie, I think there's a text that I wrote for the catalog which really proves that David Bowie certainly was aware of Schiele's work. In fact, at least two of his album covers are really modeled after Schiele.
He's also been likened to Robert Mapplethorpe and Nan Goldin, who photographed the underside, the underbelly of New York in the 1980s. Did he see himself in that way, as creating a portrait of a world far into the lives of most of the respectable citizens of Vienna?
Well, I think most of society was very repressive at that time, and Schiele and a group of his contemporaries were trying to really release themselves from that and to create a new art, and they were looking for a way of expressing their identity.
He was born in 1890 in Tulln, which is a small town outside of Vienna.
Yes, he was born into a provincial setting. Tulln is 18 kilometers outside of Vienna. And his
father. So it's really almost like a suburb.
It is, although in those days one didn't go to Vienna daily, maybe monthly, if that. But, you know, he had a rather humble background. His father was a railway station master. His grandfather had been a well-known engineer and architect of the Bohemian Railway. And his mother was from southern Bohemia.
His father died of syphilis. I don't know whether that had any impact on the way he saw the world.
Well, I certainly think that growing up with, I mean, he and his sisters watched the mental and physical deterioration of the father, and the father died when Schiele was 14, and I think it had a profound influence. And in fact, the melancholy that he sometimes wrote about and expressed in his art, I think, stems from that.
How did he meet Gustav Klimt, who was Klimt was already a famous artist
yes.
at that point,
Klimt
wasn't he?
Was a fatherly mentor to Schiele, and the story goes that Schiele came as a young a student at the academy with a portfolio of his drawings to the studio of Gustav Klimt and opened the portfolio and said, "Do I have talent?" And apparently, or purportedly, Klimt had said, "You have much too much." Or he said, "You already draw better than I do."
Well, that's for somebody else to decide, but they both painted the female form. Klimt's paintings employed lots of decorative motifs, and Schiele's are really quite dark, often, well, both were kind of erotic at times, but in very different ways.
In very different ways. The Klimt erotic work is very sensuous and almost done in a haze. The Schiele erotic work is highly focused and very charged, and you would never confuse one with the other.
The Klimt at times almost reminds me of Japanese art in the way he used fabric as a decorative device. But Schiele isn't doing anything like that. He's doing the most stark kinds of
No,
of
I think
images.
Schiele was not that interested in the ornament and in decoration. He was really looking for a clarity and a certain truth in his art, and you feel that when you see this work.
From the start, or was his earlier work influenced by Klimt?
The early work definitely was influenced by Klimt. I mean, he had a very rigorous classic academic background, and then, as he himself described it, he went through Gustav Klimt And but in the year 1909, you still see that influence. We have one beautiful large portrait of his sister Gerti from 1909, and it shows you the Schiele version of a Klimt woman, but it's already different.
But he was only 19 at the time.
He was
so
19.
He's on the verge of, at 20, of actually coming up with a very recognizable style.
Yes.
That's very young.
It is
for most,
extraordinary. And by the time he was 20, he really came into his own. That was in the year 1910. And in our exhibition, which spans over two floors, we devoted one entire room on the third floor just to that important year, 1910.
Many critics anyway, consider his drawings more powerful than his paintings. Do you think he saw himself more as a draftsman than as a painter?
That is hard to answer. I think we know that the drawings for him were a complete work of art, whereas for Gustav Klimt, the drawing was a preparation for a painting. So I think he gave the work on paper equal importance to the painting.
And Schiele became a controversial figure very soon because of his lifestyle or because people were seeing the work?
Well, he had a very free lifestyle. We know that already in the year 1910, when he sent some artwork to Prague from this new artist association, that 14 of those works were censored. So this is very early on in his career.
And they were censored because they were so sexually provocative?
They were openly erotic, and this was not considered to be suitable.
Well, many of the drawings have the genitals clearly visible. Didn't some people actually call him a pornographer at the time?
I think they considered them to be indecent. I always find it amazing because Vienna, it was filled with Baroque nudes, frescoes and fountains, and yet Schiele's nudes were shocking.
Because
at
it's
that
so
time.
Confrontational.
Well, they're so direct. I mean, it was a very unique vision, and it is his way of expressing unrepressed sexuality.
So he was obviously trying to provoke people.
I think he was looking, at his own sexual identity. I don't think he was really necessarily doing this for an audience.
My guest is Renee Price, director of Neue Galerie New York, curator of their exhibit Egon Schiele, which is on view until February 20th, drawn from the collections of Ronald S. Lauder and Serge Sabarsky. Well, we're talking about them as though everything he did was had the sexual side, but there are clothed portraits, there are landscapes. He did an awful lot of work. He drew his
yes.
friends, his family, his lovers, and a lot himself.
Yes, well, clearly, being your own model, he had a mirror that was with him all the time since the year 1907, and of course, you're least expensive model. He had financial concerns, and it's not an accident that most of his sitters early on were friends or self-portraits.
But he did a lot more self-portraits than
Rembrandt
or Van Gogh.
Or Max Beckmann, for that matter. Yes.
And then he was arrested in 1912 and put in prison. What did he do?
Well, this was, again, part of... I think he was naive and he was negligent. There were three charges. Two of them were dropped. And the one charge that he was in prison for 24 days was exposing minors to indecent material, which in fact was one watercolor of a nude from the waist up that was pinned to his bedroom wall, and these children were going in and out of his house.
So that sounds a little trumped up. Do you think it was because they were annoyed with him for other reasons?
I think it was in a very conservative rural setting. The irony of this story is that the judge who convicted him and burned that watercolor in the courtroom, he himself was a collector of erotica.
In 1915, he married Edith Harms, and then he was drafted into the army just a few days later.
4 days later, yes.
Did he fight in World War I?
No, because he was part already then of this Austrian cultural elite, and they were spared any duty on the front. And he had administrative jobs in and around Vienna.
Was he able to continue making art?
He was. The year 1916 wasn't a great year for his artistic output, but all through the military time he was able to paint and draw.
And then he gets out in 1918, has his first real success, is given a solo show at the Vienna Secession. Did his work sell at all?
Well, that last big show was a sellout, and that is part of the tragedy of this short career, that in February of 1918, Gustav Klimt died. Who is called into the morgue to draw him but Egon Schiele? That already tells you that he already had he was known and he was already famous. And with the death of Klimt, Schiele became the number one artist.
Didn't Klimt die as a result of the Spanish flu epidemic?
No. Klimt died he had a stroke and then developed pneumonia, and he died in the Vienna hospital.
But this was the year of the Spanish flu.
It was indeed. And as you may know, Schiele and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant, both died of the Spanish flu in October 1918.
Well, when people die this young, you can the obvious question is always, how do you think this person would have developed? Were there things? Was he pointing in any direction, or did the work tend to have a certain kind of consistency?
No, I mean the work does change. You know, I would say the years 1910 to 12 were the more experimental years, and then he goes through a brief period of cubism, and the later work, if you can call it that, he becomes more three-dimensional. He has bigger forms. And in the last year, he stopped using color in the watercolors, and his paintings became extremely painterly.
Did his early death serve to cement his reputation, as it did Modigliani and other artists of erotic works who died very young?
Well, it took many years for Schiele really to become known. His most important promoter, Arthur Rössler, really didn't come out until, I think, 4 years after Schiele's death with a whole series of books on Schiele. And quite frankly, it wasn't until the late 60s and 1970s that he really became a known artist.
Well, I was aware of him much earlier, and I think it was probably because the Gallery Saint-Étienne exhibited him.
Yes. In fact, we dedicated our catalog to the founder of the Galerie Saint-Étienne, Otto Kallir, and to Serge Sabarsky, the other co-founder of the Neue Galerie, precisely because these two men had really introduced Schiele to America as nobody had done.
And as you say, Ronald Lauder and Serge Sabarsky supplied most of the work here. Is it true that Ronald Lauder bought his first Schiele with part of his bar mitzvah money?
Yes, he was 13 years old, and I think that's a remarkable story.
What did Este think?
Well, that we don't know, but her son was very passionate about art from very early on, and in fact he inspired his parents and his brother to collect art, and these are very serious art collections.
Well, they may have thought it was a bad idea at the time, but it turned out to be a pretty good investment.
A wonderful opportunity that I'm sure, and of course, was not the compelling reason to start collecting art. For our museum, this exhibition is extremely important because it brings the two largest American private collections of Schiele together, and it happens to be the two founders of our museum.
Some people may have heard of Egon Schiele for the first time a couple of years ago when there was a show at the Museum of Modern Art. Two of the works were believed to have been stolen from Jewish families by the Nazis during World War II, and the paintings were even seized by the Manhattan District Attorney. Whatever happened with them?
Well, we know that one of these works is still here in New York. The other one was then returned to Austria. And this was the collection of Dr. Leopold, an eye doctor, who is, I think, has the largest collection of Schiele in the world. And there is a private museum foundation in Vienna where this work can be seen today.
Well, since you show an awful lot of work that could have gone through similar situation, is that something that you have to spend a lot of time on, worrying about whether
it's
things
always,
are tainted?
Always a concern. In fact, if you look into our catalog, and we have a very extensive checklist, we consulted 11 archives. I mean, we've really done, I think, more than any other Schiele catalog to research the provenance in the most detailed manner that was available to us.
Sheila even dabbled in fashion design, and you show his influence on contemporary designers like Calvin Klein and Nina Ricci. Now, some people might say, well, there's a stretch, but there's one piece that you have, I think it's Calvin Klein, that it looks like it was almost pretty much designed directly and modeled exactly to look like a Sheila painting.
In fact, I think I was trying to make that point. It's Marc Jacobs for Louis Vuitton, Lars Nilsson for Nina Ricci. These are very current collections, Acris, and I think this is part of the wide influence, which may in fact be so unique and unprecedented, certainly for an Austrian artist, that Egon Schiele has had.
Well, why do you think this art has become popular again in New York? We have a restaurant that is designed to look like a Gustav Klimt painting downtown Danube. We have all of these fashion artists who are going directly to Schiele for inspiration. Do you think that there are some links between what was going on in Vienna in around World War I and what's happening now in New York?
Well, I don't know if it's specifically Vienna and New York. I think Schiele had a certain air of defiance and almost an anarchist, and this seems to strike a chord. He was a rebel, and people, that resonates, I think.
Was he too young and not finished enough to have a real impact on the history of art, do you think?
I think he's had a major impact. And certainly for an Austrian artist, I think Egon Schiele is really up there. I mean, it's almost on the level of Mozart. I mean, really, this is an artist who has had a profound impact.
He's often called an expressionist. Would you call him that?
Well, it's, you know, everybody likes to put a label onto an artist. It is a form of Austrian expressionism, but it is so unique that even somebody who does not know art, once he is exposed to this work, he will never forget it. And it has even a haunting quality, and I think this is a wonderful opportunity to see it.
Well, you can see the show. You can also see some of his works, which will be posted on our website later today. The show Egon Schiele, drawn from the Ronald S. Lauder and Serge Sabarsky collections, is currently on view at the Neue Gallery, which is located
The corner of 86th and 5th on the Museum Mile, entrance on 86th Street.
Right across the street from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. There's also a beautiful catalog published by Prestel.
Prestel Verlag in Munich, yes. And we also have two wonderful cafes in our museum.
Of course, if you want to eat after you've seen the show. Thank you again so much for being with us, Renee Price.
Thank you.